Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning, CIU. This is why pastors are jealous of worship leaders now. You know what I'm saying? First, you sit down when you see me, and then I say good morning, and you, man. I know y'all had some coffee. Good morning, CIU.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. That worship was great. Let's give another hand for them for that. That was good. It's an honor. It's an honor to be here this morning. I'll try not to stand too long, but I have a question first. How many of you, when you were kids, you built a fort? Anybody here build a fort? Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. Whoever built a fort inside their house? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. What did you use to build your fort in your house? Pillows, blankets. Anybody do the chair, like the multi-chair setup? You know what I'm talking about? You'll go and get a couple of chairs, probably one of mama's good chairs. Y'all know I'm talking about the good chair. And then you get the blanket. And if for some reason you decided pillows were strong enough to stand up. Yeah, I don't know. It's kids, right? I have two. My son Xavier just turned 8. My daughter Mackenzie's 9, going on 19. But they love building forts in the house. And I love to see them work together to build forts, and they pretend they're going, you know, protect themselves from evil that's coming. Like, you know, my son's got this 30-round Nerf gun, right? And he'll literally poke a little slot between the sheets and just start firing at nothingness. But he has the best time doing it. And his sister's like this magical fairy person that cannot be touched by bullets. And so she's the collector for all these rounds, right? I asked him one day, because I saw that the fort was set up a little different. It wasn't like before. It didn't have enough space for multiple people. It had space for each of them in different spots. And the fort wasn't really built very well. He didn't have the slot for his gun. He had to pull the sheet back. You know, it was crazy. And I said, hey, so what's happening? And he's like, she has her own fort. I have my fort. We have this wall right here that shows my fort and her fort. And so I walked over and I kicked the pillows between the forts. That's about all the effort it took, right? I mean, I'm dad, right? I was like, okay, that's enough of that wall. I rebuke thee in Jesus' name. And so there was this all of a sudden, this tension, because they're looking at each other. Like they had never seen each other before. It was like, you're there. Where's my wall? I felt safe with this wall in my fort, blocking you in this fort from them and you, right? It was ridiculous. I said, kids, is that how we resolve conflict? We build walls? Yep. I mean, who does that? No, that's not what they said. They knew that was the wrong answer. It was like Sunday school and saying Jesus, right? You know the right answer is no at this point, right? Yeah, no. They were like, you're right, Daddy. We shouldn't have made separate forts. They don't have a lisp. I don't know why I did that. But when I'm talking about my son talking, I do that because he's small. So I'm like, I can give you a lisp if I want to. I was like, son, why did you decide to build this pillow wall between you and your sister? Because you had conflict. He said, well, I just didn't want to look at her. She was making me angry to see her face. I was like, okay, let's talk through this. We do this. Like, this is how we talk in my house. We actually converse, if that's a real word, through things, right? We actually will talk it out. If there's a problem, we're going to talk it out. Even if we don't remain happy afterwards, we're going to talk about what we're feeling and why. Simple communication upgrade for all of you right there, okay? This is not the way to handle conflict. Sorry. Look. So I'm teaching my kids. I'm like, hey, let's talk about this wall you've created. And let's talk about why you thought the wall was appropriate. And let's talk about why the wall shouldn't be there, right? And so when I got done talking to them, they both realized they were angry for worthless reasons. And that the anger that they quote unquote had for each other really much dissolved as they were building the wall. But they were so prideful within themselves, they figured, I'm going to finish this wall because I said I'm going to finish this wall, and you're still building the wall, so I'm still building the wall, and we're going to have this wall whether you like it or not, right? Let's stop with the wall talk. And no pun intended. And I said, now how are we going to handle this next time? How are we going to move forward the next time you two decide there's a problem between you? There's enmity between the two of you. I did say enmity because I don't hide big words from them. And I said, what's the best way to handle if you have a problem with each other? And my son was like, talk. I did roll my eyes. But it was interesting to me because my daughter, she looks at me and she says, Daddy, I'm going to have to talk to my little brother. And I'm going to have to tell him when I'm not happy and not just react. I thought, thank you, Jesus. But God showed me something that day too, right? Not only that Ephesians 2 goes past verse 10, but he also said that, hey, Stephen, there are people, my people in my house, putting walls inside my house that I didn't design to be there. That I didn't separate my body from other parts of my body because the shade may have been different. Because the top side of my arm and the bottom side of my arm got different shades, but they both on my arm. That's just DNA, right? I don't have farmer's tan, okay? The top of your foot and the bottom of your foot, different shades, most of you, right? You don't separate it because it's different shades. That's not a good reason. And because the perspective from the top of my head is different from the perspective of the bottom of my foot doesn't mean they should be cut off at the hip. I like both parts of my body, top and bottom. So don't put walls between my own body. So it makes sense that Christ is way smarter than me, so he wouldn't want his body divided either. That maybe, just maybe, God designed for us to be one in Christ Jesus. That maybe, just maybe, that the arguments and the walls, the pillows we put between each other and our little forts we designed for ourselves, we don't feel like looking at somebody's face, that maybe, just maybe, that's ridiculous. That maybe, just maybe, the cliques that we formed are not good. That maybe, just maybe, the divisions that we've decided are okay aren't. And maybe, just maybe, the perspective that you have is not the complete perspective, and that you won't get the whole picture until you talk to each other. I learn a lot from people that are different than me. I really do, and I enjoy it. I enjoy learning. The more different you are than me, the more I like talking to you. It's interesting, because then we laugh a lot, because I'll say, I thought you. And they'll say, well, I thought you. And I'll be like, ha, you were wrong. No, really, I don't try to scare them. But the point I'm making is that we have a responsibility to understand why walls exist, the purpose. But even more important, if we say that we love Jesus and that we belong to the faith, that we've been brought near unto God, and all those who are in the faith with us have been brought near, who were afar off, we've been brought near unto God, and he didn't bring us near to divide us once again. When John in Revelation 7 put the words that he saw every tribe, nation, and tongue, I don't think he saw cliques of people. And they definitely didn't see walls around the throne. Oh, okay, well, yeah, I'll keep it to myself next time. All I'm saying is sometimes we have to take the word at what it says and not make it fit what we want it to be because it's comfortable. Wall smashing gets uncomfortable because Jesus had to get crucified to tear down the walls that were between us. And they're torn down by him, and we put up walls of pillows to make ourselves feel safe. And the Father just... And it burns me sometimes to think that we we're okay or justified to take the 0.02% of our DNA that makes our skin color and use that as a major wall of division. As a matter of fact, in Scripture, in Ephesians 3:10, when he talks about the manifold or the multifaceted wisdom of God displayed in the church, that word, okay, it's a Greek word. Polypoikilops. It actually means multicolored. I'm not trying to educate today. There's more degrees in here than a circle. All I'm saying is I'm trying to take the application of the word and provide it to you, okay? I want you to see what one in Christ must look like. Because if you are made one with Christ in his baptism, with his crucifixion, in his resurrection, you are united with him, then you should look like it. You should live like it. You should speak like it. You should act like it. You should be responsible like it. You should not be careless as if you're of the world, but care because he cares. It's amazing. We'll describe the attributes of Jesus in song. We'll talk about the person of Christ and how wonderful he is, and he is. But then we'll call ourselves by his name and expect that we're okay to be completely different than that. You're either his or you're not, right? I mean, I'm not called to be a fruit inspector. But if I walk up on a tree that's labeled orange tree and there's some apples on it, somebody lied. Because Jesus said you can tell a tree by its fruits, right? Forget what the sign says. I'm looking at the fruit. I don't hate apples, by the way. I love apples. I'm just making a point. Today in the text, which I'll get through a lot faster because I'm not going to do a 30-minute introduction. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm comfortable. Nervous and comfortable at the same time. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And he made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan, if y'all weren't sure. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Again, their actions are showing who they belong to. Okay, I'll move on. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. The first thing you need to realize is that we were separated from God because of our sins. We didn't belong to him. We didn't act like we belonged to him. If you've been brought near to him, you're going to be a little different. Okay, kids again, you ready? In that fort separation wall building, did they put that wall up while I was there? Nope. They put the wall up when I was away. They were far from me. Because had I been there, what would have happened? I wouldn't have let it happen. And they would have felt conviction for the conflict. They'd have been like, I'm sorry. No, for real. Not for play, right? It'd have been a real discussion because I was present, because they would have expected me to say something because they wouldn't have been okay, right? They would have conducted themselves as if they belonged to me. But if they're far from me, I'd hope they'd represent me well. But if they're far off, they're separate, they're not connected, if they're not mine, then they'll look like they're not mine. They'll act like they're not mine. But if they're mine, I bring them near unto me, then guess what I expect of them? To maybe carry some of my traits, right? Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. I mean, 1 John 4:19, we love God not because he first loved us. I mean, it's just verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made alive, what? Together. Uh-oh. Paul's about to get in some taboo areas. Be careful, America. Made us alive together with who? Are y'all not looking at what I'm looking at? Alive together with Christ. So look, he's already getting in. By grace, you have been saved. Here's the first time he says grace in a very short period of sense, where he says it three times. Watch for how he uses it. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's used together and in Christ twice in a very short period of time. He's trying to get you ready because he's going to hit you with something. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, that's two, and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, again, you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. So again, he just said you're separated because you, and the sons of disobedience, you used to act like them, you used to be like them. You were a hot mess. You were ridiculous. You did stuff that made people angry. You made God angry. You were at enmity with him. Your flesh was against his spirit and so forth. But by his grace, again, his nature, he brought you near through Christ Jesus, together in him, by his blood, the atonement, the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, right? In John 19:30, when he said it is finished, he meant it. And so he brought you close. He showed you what to do for a purpose. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Why is that necessary to know? Because somebody you're going to have to forgive, and they don't deserve your forgiveness. Somebody you're going to have to forgive, not because they earned your forgiveness. Somebody you're going to have to forgive, and it's going to be against all your human reasoning to do so. Proverbs 3, 5, 6. Trust in the Lord your God and lean not on your own. Okay, so your reasoning, your understanding, your thought process would say, no, I smite thee with the fires of heaven. No, that's not what God is telling you to do. Why did Jesus rebuke John and those when they said, should we call on fire, Jesus? Jesus is like, man, you don't know me. That was my translation. But anyway, when you're driving in your car and someone cuts you off in traffic or takes your parking space on campus, it's best to not use hand signals, okay? I'm just being real. Can I be real for a second? Unless you need to sign them a real language and you actually know sign language, don't just make up your own hand signs or use popular ones that mean cuss words, okay? That's not Christ-like, nor is that gracious. Amen? I don't care if you use both your arms to make the signal. It's still wrong. Don't use hand signals. Grace, okay? Grace, because what you do shows who you are and what you believe. How you respond to people with or without grace is going to reveal what you believe about God and who you are on the inside. There's a lot of people I don't want to forgive, but I don't have a choice. I've been paid for with a high price that I could not pay. And so now my responses belong to Jesus. Verse 10, for we, notice he didn't say for you. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Why is we important here? All of those brought near. He's talking to the saints, the followers, not the frozen chosen. The ones who were called before the foundation of the world, yes, but not frozen type. The ones who love him, who belong to him. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Verse 11, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that all that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. The second part is we were separated from each other by sin. So first, you're separated from God by sin. He brought you near. And as you're being sanctified, as you're being convicted by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, you then see that you've been separated from each other by sin. And so as you are conformed in the image of Christ, you begin to see problems. Listen, conviction's a good thing. Having that friend that tells you that's wrong is a good thing. I need friends around me that tell me don't wear your headband on stage, okay? I'm new to this dreadlock thing, right? And so I'm having to train them to do a certain thing. And so a friend of mine told me on stage there's certain things you don't wear. They won't understand it. They'll think you're Muslim. Don't wear that. And so... And I'm like, man, I like my headband. But you need your friends to tell you when something's not right. Don't do that. If you're at home looking at your screens, looking at something you shouldn't, and you got a friend that walks in on you and catches you, and he's like, and you're like, hey, man, mind your business. And your friend's like, nah, that's wrong. Keep that friend. If you're dating someone, and you got a friend that notices you checking out somebody else and advancing that direction, you got a friend that says, hey, man, don't do that. Keep that friend. That's a friend. The Holy Spirit does the exact same thing. And he's here if you're following Christ Jesus. And he knows your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking, what you want to do. He knows when you're making very biased choices. And he'll convict you. And if you got real friends close to you, they'll tell you the same thing. That's why you're supposed to have the multifaceted, manifold, multicolored look of the body and your relationships. So they can check you. I need friends that are going to check me. I mean, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Check yourselves. See if you're in the faith. Test yourselves to see if you're truly following Christ Jesus. You need friends that are following Jesus to help you continue to follow Jesus. But if you keep choosing friends that don't follow Jesus, you're saying you don't want to follow Jesus either. Forget birds of a feather. I want birds of all colors. Come here, red bird, green bird, blue bird. Let's hang out. But you bird, right? We're going to work with you. We're going to work with you. Come on now. We're going to work with you. First, you're separated from God by sin. But then we're separated from each other by sin. And I'm going to the part of Ephesians that a lot of people don't really dig into. Really quick. For he himself is our peace, who made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to us who were afar off and to those who were near. Jesus tore down the wall of separation from God and each other. And we have a responsibility to be intentional with tearing down pillow walls, because Jesus already tore down the major wall. That's done. And we keep putting up these stupid pillows, trying to divide ourselves by ways that we see or see fit. And that's sinful. We need to be intentional with not only forgiving each other, but we need to be intentional with deciding, I will not follow the ways of this world. They're wrong. God's right. And he's told me the wall is down. He tore it down. Why did Jesus tear down the wall? So we could take the same material and build bridges. So we could be intentional to know and love one another who's already been brought near unto Christ. So I challenge you to be intentional with getting to know someone who's probably not a lot like you. And take the opportunity to get to know them intentionally. And have the joy that comes with learning something. And learn something about yourself. I'm sure some of the leaders sitting here today could tell you that they learn things as they grow in relationships with those who maybe would be assumed to not be like them. And not only did they find out they had a lot more in common than they realized, but their differences were pillows. But there's still a problem. Some of you, this will be an impossible task because the first step hasn't been taken because you're still separated and far off from God himself. If you try putting in this new wine and your old wineskin, you're done for before you get started. You need the mind of Christ, the spirit of Christ, to do the work of Christ. And I challenge you that if you don't already know that Jesus is alive today, but before that, he was already in heaven and he came down as a perfect, perfect person and lived a perfect life, born from a virgin, lived and died for the sins that we committed. He bore all of our sins on Calvary. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was killed. He actually did die. But he actually came back in that same body. He ate food to prove it. Ghosts don't eat. And then he said, now come and do the work I've called you to. But you can't do that work without him. So if you don't know him, that's your first step. And after that, get to know your siblings. It's not enough to go from sinner to saint. You need to go from sinner to saint to sibling. All right. Praise God. Time's up. Y'all enjoy. Have an amazing day.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.